The makeup of our state legislature was on the ballot for Election Day. All 99 seats in the Assembly, 16 state Senate seats. We're getting recap and analysis on key races and referenda here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Outside of K-12 school district referendums, there were 129 other measures on the ballot yesterday, according to a WisPolitics count. What state races did you watch most closely and why? What do you think of Republicans not getting a supermajority? What do you think of the count still underway in Wisconsin? Join in 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief, co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Sean, welcome back.
Hi, Kate.
Well, tell us what we know at this point with the count still underway in Wisconsin in a very, very close race between President Trump and Joe Biden.
Yeah, what we know right now is that as of the preliminary results that are compiled by the Associated Press, Joe Biden leads Donald Trump by around 21,000 votes in Wisconsin. It was 20,748 last time I did the math. So it's like a very similar lead, I guess, for Biden over Trump to what Trump had over Hillary Clinton in 2016. The difference is this time there were a lot more votes cast for both parties.
And certainly a lot more votes cast absentee, and that is what is being counted right now. That is what is taking the time.
I mean, as far as the count, it looks like the count is basically done. I mean, I can't say for certain that there aren't pockets here or there. You know, when I did a review of which counties still had precincts that had not been counted yet, I saw a couple.
I see two.
Yeah, just two, and not huge counties. So, I mean, I think this may be pretty close to the unofficial result from the Associated Press that we get here right now. We did wait a very long time for absentee ballots for some counties. It felt like forever with Milwaukee County because there was such a huge pocket of absentee votes in the city of Milwaukee, and they really changed the character of the race last night. You went from Wisconsin being led by Donald Trump to you threw in those city of Milwaukee votes, which are not only city of Milwaukee heavily Democratic, but absentee even more Democratic. And they put Biden in the lead. Then you had pockets of votes too in Kenosha and in Green Bay, absentee votes that took a long time to tabulate, especially Green Bay's, which came in around 6 o'clock this morning. Actually, Kenosha's came in around the same time. So, you know, we knew it was going to take a while, and it did. And, the first time we've seen an election like this with this many absentee votes, and even though it was going to take a long time to count, it still felt unusual.
Yeah, you know, the Green Bay situation taking a little more time. I think I read one of the voting machines ran out of ink, which was one of the reasons perhaps why the tally was taking a bit longer there.
I'm not sure. I also saw the Wisconsin Elections Commission say that the machines up there don't use ink.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't know what that was.
Right.
You know, one of those random things on Twitter that may not have been true last night.
We have WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson with us for state results on Election Day as vote counting continues here. And we're watching it very closely as the election is underway and vote count is still underway. Join in with your perspective on what you saw at the polls. 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Dennis from Rosendale this morning. Hi, Dennis.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing well. What would you like to ask?
A comment first and just a question. First comment is our town, small town of Springville, I think our poll workers did an excellent job. They're very dedicated, very accurate, and did a great job of running everything. So I think a lot of the rural areas, you know, experienced that and very dedicated people. So, you hear negative comments about that, but I think in our town it was nothing but positive. The question I have, though, for Sean and you, all the polls that came out pre-election 2016 and now in 2020, I wonder how how accurate they'll look this year compared to 2016? And do you think that the polls are actually a positive thing, a negative thing, or just a neutral impact on the election?
Yeah. What will be the takeaways from polling this election cycle, Sean?
Yeah, I got to say, I've been thinking about that, too. When it came clear that Wisconsin was extremely close, it was a little bit of deja vu, you know? I don't know what the answer is to that question. It seems like it's hard to get an accurate count for the presidential race in Wisconsin the last two times. I just don't know. I mean, there was... We look at the Marquette poll quite a bit, and
yep.
it showed Joe Biden up by 5 in the final poll. It did have 7% of voters who either didn't say who they voted for or who they're going to vote for or hadn't decided. So, you know, that is a big chunk of people, and it is large enough to tighten a race if all those people go for one of the candidates. I mean, they broke heavily for Donald Trump in 2016, so it's plausible that that's what happened here. But I don't know. I mean, it's something I would like to hear more about in the coming days because, I obviously this is two presidential races in a row where we went in kind of thinking, all right, we've seen a lot of polls that show the same thing. I mean, if you look at all the polls that were taken in Wisconsin over the past year, they show a consistent trend of Biden being up. And the final result is here we are neck and neck again. So I'm not sure what to make of it.
Sean, what was voter turnout like? What did you find there with the numbers?
In terms of the overall percentage of voter turnout, I don't think it's quite as high as the state record, which was set in 2004. That was between John Kerry and George W. Bush. But in terms of the overall number of voters, Wisconsin set a record last night. And sort of, I guess, a result of that, you have Joe Biden, according to the preliminary totals, received more votes than any presidential candidate ever in Wisconsin. So a high turnout race, certainly higher turnout than in 2016 for both candidates.
And Dane County also had a much higher turnout as well.
Yeah, and Dane County continues to be just a huge Democratic powerhouse. You know, it seems like election after election, it sort of, it kind of dwarfs the previous election results for Democrats. You know, you look back, you think of 2012 as a good year for Democrats, a good year for President Obama. But if you compare, you know, Wisconsin's election results in Dane County specifically to the Dane County election results this year for Joe Biden, I mean, they're just not even close. Dane County is like upwards of 76% for Joe Biden compared to 71% for Barack Obama. So it's just like this hill that keeps climbing upward of Democratic votes, and it continued that trend.
WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, our guide to state election results. How do you think the COVID surge in Wisconsin and the bitter mask wearing debate and other hot button issues affected the outcome of state races, if at all? What state election result is most pertinent to your life? As you look at the down ballot races, what jumps out at you? Join in your observations, what you experienced at the polls, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with WPR Sean Johnson here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're recapping state election results, what unfolded in Wisconsin on Election Day as the vote tally continues. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The run-up to Election Day was marked by state court battles, millions of dollars spent on legislative races with Democrats outspending Republican groups by nearly 2-1. What will the history books say about the 2020 election? What do you think of the makeup of the legislature heading into the redrawing of political maps? Do you have a resolution question about redistricting on your ballot? What did you think about it? Join in 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief, and he's our guide. Let's bring in Rich, who is joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Rich. What are your observations about Election Day?
Good morning. I am reacting to the idea that it's taking a long time to count the votes. Folks, it's not even 24 hours since the polls closed. And if you check out how votes are counted around the world, in Canada, in UK, in Germany, and other places, this is really odd to say it's taking a long time to count the votes, because it seems to reflect American impatience that you just add cold water and you get Kool-Aid. We count the ballots until the ballots are counted. That's how it works when you're talking about a democratic republic.
Rich, thank you for calling in with that. Sean, we have to be patient.
Hey, I mean, no complaints here. It's just something that we haven't experienced before. And so I think I'll just leave it at that. I mean, we knew it was coming. We knew it was going to be like this. We were even told the times would be about 3 a.m. or 6 a.m. in some counties, and they were. But, you know, it can still – our first trip down that, I guess, road, and so we hadn't experienced it before.
Well, I was reading the Associated Press, which has been reporting election returns in presidential elections since the 1800s. It went back and found that there has never been a presidential election in which all the votes are counted on election night. So that is something to keep in mind, that this isn't unusual.
Yeah, and we should stress also that these results that you're seeing, that you always see the day after Election Day, are unofficial. You know, they are compiled by the Associated Press, which does an excellent job. And, you know, it's just a step in the process, though.
Let's bring in Kimberly from Fox Lake. Kimberly, what are your observations?
Hi. So, well, it's a little embarrassing to admit, this is the fourth time I could have voted in an election, and it's the first time that I have. I had to say that I was really convinced by a lot of what was out there for the just pushing to just go out and vote. And I was just wondering, do they have a count of, like, how many are first-time voters, and is that a larger percentage than usual?
Yeah, so Kimberly heard that get-out-the-vote message. It resonated with her, first-time voter, but has had opportunities in the past. Sean, do we know how many first-time voters there were out there?
I don't know right now. I mean, you would be able to look at the number of people who registered to vote for this election, and that would give you an idea. It wouldn't necessarily say if they were first-time voters. You know, they could have moved and registered, but it would give you some idea of how the electorate changed, you know, going from eligible voters to registered voters.
Talking with WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, working through election results on morning after, with your insights on how voting went for you. 800-642-1234. Daniel is with us from Winnebago. Hi, Daniel.
Good morning. Just a quick question, or more perspective for from Sean. Given the past history of the WOW counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington being kind of bellwethers and strongholds for Republicans, and Dane County now becoming, just like you said, this mountain of support for Democrats. I just wanted to get Sean's perspective on, I guess, the waning possibly of the WOW counties. I think the vote totals from Madison, I think there were almost 100,000 more voters total in Dane County than there were in Waukesha County. So I just wanted to get his perspective on those two bellwether counties for the state. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Daniel.
I think when you're talking about the WOW counties and sort of the Republican coalition and changes you're seeing in that, we should remember it's kind of on the margins, right? Because Donald Trump still won the WOW counties. And based on these preliminary numbers, it's not like this was a blowout election by any means. You know, you're talking about 20,000 votes that separate the candidates right now, with more than 3 million cast. So the changes are kind of, they're small at this point, but you do see Democrats eating into the Republican edge in some of those suburban counties. You know, I just looked at Ozaukee last night. I didn't total up all the WOW counties. I did see others do that, but you know, the Trump edge in 2020 was about 7,400 votes. In 2016, his edge was about 10,000 votes. So Democrats kind of chipping away at that Republican edge in one of those powerful suburban counties. You also saw a few interesting assembly races last night. Democrats were able to win two suburban assembly districts, and they were able to hold a suburban assembly district that they won in the 2018 election that, you know, we kind of wondered if it was a fluke. So, you know, they're making a little progress in the suburbs. Well, so from, what are you seeing from, I'm sorry, go ahead, Kate.
I was going to say from the WOW to the BOW, you know, another area that was closely watched is that Green Bay area, that Brown, Outagamie, and Winnebago. What did you see out of those counties?
And I haven't compared the numbers on the BOW counties, you know, quite as much.
Sure.
But those are still, just looking earlier, it looked like Donald Trump did fairly well up there. And I wish I had them. I have too many tabs open.
That's okay. That's okay. How about we go to Tammy in Dane County with a reflection on Election Day. Tammy, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. And I understand you worked as a poll worker.
Yes, I did.
How did it go?
Awesome. It went really well. The reason I called, I was really surprised how many first-time voters there were yesterday. When there's a first-timer, they ring a bell and all the volunteers cheer and clap and stuff. And usually I've worked 5 elections now. Excuse me. And usually there's 3, 4, or 5 in a day, you know, not just a handful. And yesterday, the bells were ringing every few minutes. I was there until 3 o'clock. It was just crazy how many new first-time voters there were.
Wow! So those bells got a workout. Tammy, I'm wondering, you know, from your assessment, Dane County, which had a huge turnout, did things go pretty smoothly? What was your experience like?
Well, I was processing absentee ballots, so I didn't see a whole lot of what was going on out in the, you know, in-person voting areas. But,
yeah. How did processing absentee,
great.
Yeah, how did that go?
It went really well. We had a lot of curbside voting, so our processing kept increasing. We'd get through a bunch of boxes, and then the pile would be bigger again, but I guess that's a good thing. I didn't, you know, the group I was in didn't have any issues, and machines were working well and all that stuff.
Well, Tammy, thank you so much for calling in and for that observation, especially about the bell ringing. And Sean, you know, it's those observations that give us a little bit better glimpse in this pandemic of what went on, you know, at polling sites.
Yeah, and I know, like in Madison, where they would count absentee ballots at the polling site, so it's not like a central count like you had in Milwaukee. There were not too many in-person voters who were in line to vote. It seemed like the polling place I visited, there were poll workers there who were in line to count these absentee ballots. So again, a different election than we've experienced before. And if you're talking about new voters, you're going to get that when you have more than 3.2 million votes cast, which is higher than the last presidential election for sure.
quickly here, looking at the congressional races, were there any upsets last night?
No, but a pretty close race for the 3rd Congressional District, which was definitely the race that we were watching here. And you're looking at Ron Kind winning that race over Derek Van Orden, according to results from the Associated Press here, by a couple percentage points. So not a big margin, you know, by any stretch. I mean, 4 years ago, Ron Kind did not have an opponent in this district. So this is a district that has, at least in 2016, this district went for Trump. I don't know how it went this time around, but Ron Kind's opponent was very much a Trump Republican and gave him a run for his money there. In the other races, the incumbents won.
We have Sean Johnson, WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief, providing us morning after election analysis with your insights, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We are getting morning after state election recap and analysis here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. The makeup of our state legislature was on the ballot on Election Day. All 99 seats in the state assembly were up for grabs. 16 state Senate seats were on the ballot. Not all were contested races. 18 assembly races and 5 state Senate races were uncontested, to be exact. What state race did you watch most closely? What referendum will affect your life or affect your child's schooling? Join in 800-642-1234. We have WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson with us. Sean, let's take a closer look at those election results, starting out with the state Senate races. With 16 there on the ballot, what did you see?
Yeah, well, we knew that Republicans needed to flip 3 seats if they wanted to get a veto-proof majority in the Senate, and they had to do the same thing in the Assembly too. They would need to flip 3 seats currently held by Democrats. And when we're talking about a veto-proof majority, to put that in some context, you know, we have divided government right now. Republicans can pass stuff. The governor can veto it. They don't have the numbers to override him right now. But with a veto-proof majority, they could. And so they could basically set the agenda for state government on everything from the budget to redistricting. So in the Senate, they got pretty close based on the numbers that we have right now. The only seat where Democrats were able to hold them off was the 32nd Senate district. That's the district that was held by Jennifer Schilling, the former Democratic minority leader who left the Senate. And in the 32nd, it looks like Brad Paff defeated Dan Kopanky by about 50.3% to 49.7%, fewer than 600 votes there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of their firewall district in the Senate for Democrats. I mean, they spent a lot of money in that district between, you know, Paff's campaign, which was backed heavily by the Democratic Party.
Paff being former Ag Secretary, who...
That is correct, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Who was fired from his job
from
as
his
Ag
job.
Secretary by the state Senate, where he is now looking like he's going to become a member. Also interesting that that was a rematch of a 2004 race between Brad Paff and Dan Kopanky. Kopanky won the 2004 race. It looks like he's going to lose this one, though. And Paff thwarts the GOP supermajority in the Senate. But Republicans did pick up a couple other seats there. They won the 10th Senate district. That was the seat held by Patty Shockner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She won that race in a special election a couple years ago. So a lower turnout race. And then they also looks like they won the seat held for a couple decades by State Senator Dave Hansen of Green Bay. His nephew, Jonathan Hansen, was running for the district. It looks like he lost to Republican Eric Wimberger, who actually ran a close race against Dave Hansen last time. So Republicans, it looks like, are going to flip that seat, which Dave Hansen held kind of against the odds for a number of elections. I mean, that's a district that went to Trump. Dave Hansen managed to keep winning it, But with his retirement, it looks like it's going to go to Republicans.
Going back to the race with Stapschult and Schachner there, you know, Schachner took that in a special election in 2018, and it's going to swing back to the GOP. Any surprise there?
I mean, it's a big margin.
Okay.
A 60 to 40% margin, it looks like, with Schachner and Stapschult. So I guess, of the three there, I would say maybe the odds were steepest against Patty Schachner, just given that district's long-term history. You know, that said, a couple of years ago, it was kind of viewed as this the beginning of a blue wave at the time. So we got to remember that. But it was just a different kind of election. You know, it was a moment in time and a lower turnout race. And here in a full turnout November election, that Republican district did support the Republican.
Staying in the Senate here for a moment, with Scott Fitzgerald now elected to Congress, who will lead the state Senate?
I don't know for sure. You know, State Senate President Roger Roth was kind of speaking on behalf of the Senate Republican Caucus at a campaign event, you know, recently when it was a WisPolitics forum where the Senate leaders talk about their races. So I suppose he would be one of the candidates, but, you know, I don't know. It looks like there's going to be a couple new people in their caucus too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that it doesn't take a whole lot of people to kind of change a leadership vote in the Senate. So we will find out soon. But Senator Fitzgerald's been the leader in the Senate for a long time now. I mean, you're talking about back to, like, I think 2008 was when he was elected minority leader for Republicans for one session. And then he became majority leader at the beginning of the Walker years and led the charge for Act 10 and any number of other Republican initiatives, and he is now headed to Congress.
We're talking with WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. We're working through election results on this morning after Election Day. With your insights and what you saw at the polls, what races you watched most closely and why, we're at 800-642-1234 to join in. Sean, you know, legislative races were infused with cash, millions of dollars in spending. What did you see about how these races were run in a pandemic?
Well, I think these races and just, you know, any of the campaigns in Wisconsin, the presidential campaign on down to state assembly, you know, Democrats were more cautious in their campaigning, their person-to-person campaigning than Republicans were. I think that's kind of epitomized by President Trump's rallies late in the campaign, where, I mean, the crowds were big. They were outdoors, but they were packed close together. Not everybody was wearing masks. And, you know, that kind of epitomized the energy of his campaign in Wisconsin in the closing days of the race. Whereas, you know, you look at Joe Biden's last stop in Wisconsin, it was socially distanced, invitation only about 50 people. I know there are Democrats Democratic groups who did go door to door. So it's not like they totally abandoned that or any kind of in-person campaigning. But I think they did less of it than Republicans, from all indications.
I want to play some tape here. Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler last night telling us that he thought that Democrats would gain ground in the heavily Republican assembly. Here he is.
Robin Voss is about to experience a repudiation by Wisconsinites, a caucus that has not lost a single incumbent since the new maps were drawn, has only lost one seat held by Republicans in an open race by 132 votes in 2018. That caucus is about to actually take some accountability.
So take some accountability. Did we see that out of assembly races?
Democrats picked up two seats from what we can tell right now, and they were suburban seats. And so kind of symbolically, that is big for them, because they want to make inroads in the suburbs. They're kind of losing the rural vote or the vote in smaller counties. And, you know, they can't win these statewide races with Dane and Milwaukee alone, to kind of oversimplify it. And so, I mean, it's like symbolically important for Democrats to win where they did. But, you know, this is a Republican map. And you had a lot of Republican incumbents who won despite high dollar efforts to unseat them in this election. So you do have a smaller Republican majority coming back in the state assembly, but it is still big nonetheless.
Did you see the president's push in Wisconsin in the final days and weeks? Did that influence down ballot in those rural areas, rural districts?
I think those rural districts are just like pretty strongly in the president's camp in many cases, and the assembly and Senate districts are likewise the same. I'd like to look more at some of the places that the president went specifically and see, you know, what kind of a story that can tell in terms of how they voted this year compared to how they voted in 2016. But the president and his campaign were kind of all over the place in Wisconsin in the closing days there. You know, his last stop was in Kenosha. He was in Waukesha, West Salem, just in the past week. So I'd like to explore a little bit more.
And certainly we heard so much about the suburban women that largely went for President Trump in 2016. And any insights there? Did we see any changes there, or is it too soon to tell?
I haven't seen exit polling on suburban women specifically, which is a group that the president brought up specifically in his stump speech. So I don't know that right now. I do know that as you look at Wisconsin suburbs, they're still a Republican powerhouse, right? But they are, you know, we talked about Dane as being this kind of like hill that keeps climbing of Democratic votes. The suburban counties are kind of, it's like they're slowly headed back the other direction. You know, they're still very strongly Republican, but under Trump, at least, not as Republican as they were. You know, Mitt Romney did a better job in the suburbs as a percentage, certainly, than Donald Trump did. And that was 8 years ago. So something may be changing there, or it could be more of a Trump thing. You know, it could be more of a personality thing. That's sort of the what makes these 2020 results. We just don't know what to make of them exactly.
Because, remains to be seen.
Yeah, the president has such a strong personality, and you hear so many Republicans say that bothers them. So is this a long-term change in the suburbs like we've seen in other states, or is this kind of Trump-specific?
WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, our guide to the races that were on the ballot on Election Day, providing us morning after recap and analysis. Still time to talk about race outcomes, your takeaways, what it was like to cast your ballot amid a raging pandemic. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, our guide. He's been watching returns all night, hasn't slept a wink. He's up with us for an update on down ballot races, referenda around Wisconsin on this morning after Election Day. Still time to talk about it. 800-642-1234. Your questions and your takeaways, they're welcome. So, Sean, you know, we had several restaurant owners run this year, which has been a sector that has been absolutely devastated by the pandemic. Francesca Hong, who owns Morris Ramen in the Madison area, was running for the seat vacated by Chris Taylor, who became a judge. Hong spoke with Madison 365 last night.
When it comes to worker rights and protecting workers, small businesses, especially local small businesses, understand that empowering their workers is how we can actually make good investments for our business. And, you know, lowering that turnover, making sure that the health of their workers is taken care of so they can have a thriving business.
How did Hong do?
She was running in a Democratic district, and I don't have her totals in front of me, but that was one of those races where kind of the outcome was not in question.
Okay.
You know, she was one that was, once she won her primary, it was kind of a given that she was going to be elected in the general.
How much did the pandemic affect the issues in the races this year and the candidates who were campaigning?
It's hard to think that it didn't affect everything. It feels like it affects every element of our lives, right? And if you look at the way that the candidates for the legislature were framing it, you know, Democrats were complaining about Republicans kind of doing nothing or standing in the way of the governor when it comes to fighting the pandemic. And if you look at the ads that Republicans were running, they were bragging about the COVID-19 bill that the legislature passed nearly unanimously way back in April, saying like, hey, we worked together and passed this bill. We did this thing. So in the messaging, it was definitely there. But if you take a step back and just kind of look at the way things ended up in Wisconsin, we're close again. You know, every election we're close, it feels like recently. The last gubernatorial election, the last presidential election, some Supreme Court elections recently.
And we've been through so much. The summer protests.
I know.
You know?
It doesn't seem to move. It doesn't seem to move us too much, right? It obviously motivated a lot of people to get out and vote this time. But here we are. It's just such a closely divided state.
Let's look at referenda. Madison schools, starting with Madison, asking voters for $350 million in a pair of questions on the ballot yesterday. What was the response there?
I got to confess, Kate, I was looking at the presidential.
You weren't watching the referenda.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. And those pair of referenda that they did, it was a resounding yes there. You know, there was a lot to watch, Sean, and I'm wondering, did you see any voting irregularities or anything that caused you pause as people cast their ballot yesterday?
From what I heard from local election officials and from state election officials who had a number of media availabilities yesterday. And, you know, in some cases, like in Milwaukee, they had cameras watching their every move as they counted these absentee ballots. It seems like it went pretty well. You know, it's not like in April where we were talking about a small number of polling places open, a small number of poll workers there to work the polling places, and really long lines. You didn't see that this time. You had more polling places, more poll workers, and a lot more people who voted absentee, and so they weren't standing in line to begin with. So I'm not going to say absolutely, definitively, like nothing went wrong yesterday. But from kind of a 40,000-foot view, it looked like it went pretty well.
So election litigation has, I think, effectively given us whiplash this election year, this election cycle, from state courts and then all the way up to the Supreme Court. What is going on with this flood of litigation?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't have a new round of it yet for Wisconsin. I think there's any election cycle, you're going to have what feels kind of like a flood of litigation in a close state where the parties are going to try to fight along the margins.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the votes that we have in front of us in these unofficial totals from the Associated Press, there's no litigation for these votes as of this moment. Now, you know, the president last night gave a speech where he like implied that there could be some kind of litigation, but, you know, there's, I guess, no reason to believe that with what's in front of us on these Wisconsin votes right now, that there would be.
We have a WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson with us this morning as we get recap and analysis on state election returns, what he saw at the polls yesterday with your insights and how you saw Election Day in Wisconsin. Join in, still time to talk, 800-642-1234. And Sean, just to recap, President Trump and Joe Biden are still locked in an extremely close race in Wisconsin. With counting still going on, is there still just a couple precincts left to report?
It looked like, you know, before we started talking here, there were just a couple precincts in small counties in the state. You know, it could be that it's close enough that the AP just wants to be extremely careful. And, you know, that could be why you're seeing kind of I guess some caution there in terms of declaring a winner in Wisconsin. I mean, the consequences of our state and its outcome are obviously huge. And so I can't speak for the Associated Press, but, you know, with a margin this small, when you're talking less than a percentage point, it could be that they just want to be extra sure they've got it right here.
Given how close it is, what are the chances for a request for recount?
I think it's something that could happen given the margins. When in Wisconsin, if you're within a percentage point, you know, one of the top two candidates can ask for it. The recall laws were rewritten after the 2016 recall that was requested by Green Party candidate Jill Stein, who,
yeah,
you know, even though she didn't get many votes in Wisconsin, she was able to request that. And then she was able to fundraise to pay for the recall. We changed the recall laws after that. Republicans did. And so now there's this one percentage point margin, but it looks like President Trump will be within that. So it's within the range of possibilities.
You've been covering Wisconsin politics for a long time, and I'm wondering, you know, as we close up here, what was different for you in how you approached coverage this election cycle?
Well, I mean, I guess it almost felt like it didn't feel like the usual election year because it's a pandemic and, you know, we're working from our homes most of the time and everything is different. So I guess that'd be the biggest different thing is that the whole year felt different. And yet here we are with another close Wisconsin election result. And so I guess that is one thing that stays the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, and he's co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. We've been getting a recap from him on state election results. And once again, still too close to call on the presidential election. The AP has not called it at this point. Just ahead, we unpack the presidential race with UW-Madison journalism professor Mike Wagner, who studies political communication. So with the surging pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, the hostile rhetoric on the campaign trail, what did you take away from election 2020? Where are we at as a nation? Join in your insights. They're welcome. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's the morning show, morning after of Election Day, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.